Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte. Episode 43 for April 26th, 2008. Parenting Teens. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audible.com/monkeys. And now, visit Audible's new kids site, audiblekids.com. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. Hats for sale. Hello, Jumping Megan.
Hello, Leo. So today we're going to talk about teenagers. So I wanted to start by reading you something that made me think of you. Are you ready? This is from Brainchild Magazine, which is one of my favorite paper magazines. You can get some articles online, but not this one. This is by Kristen Kovacic.
Okay.
She is talking about how she's been writing for Brainchild since her kids were little. And she says, when I reread those pieces now, I notice the bounce in my voice. I recognize my young mothering self, so confident in all my parenting choices that I could afford to be a wise guy. You see, I was not yet the mother of a teenager.
Yep.
If you're paying attention, you know that parenthood is a humbling journey. You are humbled by the awesome experience of your children's birth, their astonishing beauty and innate wisdom, the random way the world bestows its fortunes and horrors. But the teen years are the ones that bring you to your knees. Suddenly the kids aren't cute anymore. And guess what? Neither are you.
So true.
Coolest mother on the planet, have become the man. The kids no longer say the darndest things. They say truly nasty things.
Mm-hmm.
And your own thoughts are less than fond and enlightening. A little more I have to read. This is just really good. This condition, old as humanity, is a great reckoning for people like us who thought we were immunized against it. All those trips to the aquarium. I am myself the queen of this illusion. Though I teach teenagers every day in high school, I somehow fail to understand that my own babies would eventually become them. So hear me now, smug mothers of rugrats. Once you cross over to the dark side, as my husband has dubbed the age of 13, parenting is a whole new ball game played in the dark, and no one really knows the rules.
Everything you knew is wrong.
So that was by Kristen Kovacic, who I tried to look up and email, but I couldn't find her on the internets, so I'll keep trying.
Kristen, she's writing, if you're listening, we'd love to talk to you.
But today we're going to talk to someone who is close to a teen. She is Vanessa Van Petten, and she is an entrepreneur and an author. She wrote a book when she was a teenager still called You're Grounded, How to Stop Fighting and Make the Teenage Years Easier, based on hundreds of interviews she did when she was in high school.
Interesting.
So, and she has a website about talking to teenagers. And so it'll be exciting to talk to her.
You know, see, she wasn't the kind of teen we're talking about.
I know.
She was one of those achiever teens.
Right, yeah. She was saying that she wrote it based on seeing a lot of her friends and go down the road, you know, of drugs and things like that.
Boy.
So, yeah.
I have a teen.
Yeah.
I have two teens.
Mm-hmm.
One 13, one 16. You know what, though? I have come full circle on this subject. Probably when you first listened, you know, Jumping Monkeys episode 1 or 2, I might have sounded like a bitter parent of a teen.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things she says, true. They insult you. They yell at you. They're unmanageable, unruly, disobedient, disorder, all of that. But now I've kind of come around a little bit, and I look at teens now and I kind of love them.
Yeah.
I finally realized, and this only happened the last maybe month or so, I finally realized kind of, maybe I just kind of got some empathy for what's going on in their heads, or maybe mm-hmm. I remembered what it was like. I don't know. But for some reason, when Abby says, you know, you're just so stupid, don't talk to me, I don't take it personally anymore.
Yeah.
I understand that it's just, you know,
It's a natural separating from you.
I think I know what happened is that Abby kind of got to the other side of that.
Yeah.
She's starting to be nicer now.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry isn't fully into it yet. So I'm not quite so confronted by it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I found out, and I'm going to be very sad, we're going to lose Abby next year. She's going away to France.
Oh, I can't believe
she
it.
She got into a program called SYA, School Year Abroad. And it's not a semester.
It's a year.
So in September, for 9 months, she's going to leave us. We, you know, she's only a junior. She'll come back for senior year of high school. But we didn't think, we thought we had a couple of years.
Yeah.
And Henry's going to be an only child. And so we're going to have, it's going to be a little challenging. So that may be the other side of it is also. She, as well as we, are starting to recognize that that's going to happen. And that's sad.
I think that's so sad because she won't have Marco for, because he teaches juniors.
That's Megan's husband who teaches this in school. Mm-hmm. Well, it's so for, so he doesn't teach seniors at all?
No, he does writing. And
she's going to take the essay.
Yeah.
Because she really wants to take that essay stuff from him. He's a great writing teacher. But yeah, she won't have a American, I guess it's American history she won't have.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be a little hard. But I tell you what, I'm really proud of her. And I'm really glad that she applied. It was her whole idea. This is the other flip side about teenagers. They're people now.
Yeah.
They get their ideas and they can sometimes get real excited about something and do something without you doing it for them.
Right.
And that's kind of what she did. She found this program. She did the application herself. She worked really hard on it.
Yeah.
She got in, and it's a real sense of achievement for her. And for me, it's this very proud moment.
Yeah.
So that's the other side of it, too.
Well, maybe she won't go away for college. Maybe she'll get all of her going away.
She damn well better go away. She ain't staying with us. I got plans for that room.
She could stay with us.
No, she's great. She's great. And Henry's great. And I just feel like... Maybe there's ups and downs, and maybe I'm in an up cycle, but as hard as it is being the parent of a teen, it's also wonderful. I mean, you're watching your little babies become people, and it's really neat.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Sometimes kind of mean, nasty people, but that's, you know, that's just temporary. So good. We'll talk to Vanessa in a little bit, but before we do, spend, save, and give.
Do the spend, save, give. The first spend is a place called Cubes and Crayons, which is right now only in Menlo Park, but I wanted to mention it because I thought it was a really interesting idea. Have you heard of co-working?
I've heard of co-housing.
Co-working.
I've heard of cohabiting.
Co-working is this new trend for telecommuters or entrepreneurs. Instead of just working in your house by yourself, there are places that have like a shared workspace. So you can pay rent and you're not in a cafe. You go and you work, you know, not with, you know, it's like basically an office, but you're not working
Poe
with
Bronson
the people.
Poe Bronson does this in San Francisco.
The Grotto, is that what
the Grotto for writers. In fact, Dane wrote there for a while. He really loved it.
So it's really catching on, mostly in San Francisco, but there are a lot of different places. But this one combines that idea with childcare in it, with licensed
that's a great
thing. If you have kids, you do. So I read about this in the San Francisco Chronicle, and this was about this place, Cubes and Crayons, which I think is one of the only places, and they have a variety of different rates. You know, they actually have people that aren't using the childcare, that are just working there, so there's a different rate for those people. And then so you can have a drop-in rate, or you can pay by the month. And
I was actually, believe it or not, thinking of doing this right here in Petaluma.
Really?
Yeah, I almost rented a space, and because when you work alone as we do, you kind of want other people around.
I don't, but maybe you do.
Well, I was thinking of making the downstairs maybe like a podcast headquarters.
Yeah,
if people wanted to do a podcast, they could rent the equipment.
That's a good idea.
Because we really have a setup. It's quite amazing.
That is a good idea. Yeah. You should do that.
No.
And have childcare.
Yeah. I'll take care of their teens.
now that you're a teen expert.
That sounds really bad. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
So I thought it was interesting. It's like $20 an hour for office and childcare, which is pretty good.
And I love the name.
Yeah. Cubes and Crayons. So cubesandcrayons.com. And I'll link to the article in the Chronicle that's about this new trend.
And if you want to do this in your locality, often these people are very helpful at setting it up.
Yeah. Helping you. Yeah. So now we're going to tell you a way to save your money.
Please.
How do you feel about Photoshop Express?
Love it.
You do?
There's some limits.
Yeah. There are
2 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Photoshop. The idea, it's from Adobe. The idea is kind of like, it's a web gallery online. It's like a Flickr killer, but it's spruced up, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's free, which is nice.
Yep. I don't know if it'll always be free, but it's free right now.
Yeah. I've put some pictures up there, and I do like it. My year membership on Flickr expired, and I'm looking for someplace else. I just don't use Flickr enough to justify the costs. And,
Photoshop Express is much more functional, much prettier, really like it. there's some things that Flickr has that are missing, but the biggest thing that Flickr has that Photoshop Express is currently missing is a community.
Mm-hmm.
The community at Flickr is what it's all about.
Right, yeah.
It's the place to share photos.
Right.
Not just with people you know, but really publicly.
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah, and I think I really, that part of it doesn't appeal to me. You know, I just
you don't want people. Yeah, wait till you get older. And,
well, if I were like a photographer and
see,
I wanted,
that's
you
what
know.
I used for Tasmania. Yeah, I put up my pictures there.
Yeah, so I don't. I thought it was interesting, and there was some issues at the beginning with the EULA. It said that Photoshop owned your photos, but they backed off. I think
they don't want to own your photos.
Yeah,
it's you know it's typical lawyer boilerplate that almost Facebook has it. All of these sites have. It's more like to protect them, I think, than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't worry too much about that.
So now the one way to give back, and this is a get and a give. I like to combine them. This was a link that Kyle sent to me for the AMC Summer Movie Camp.
AMC is a movie theater chain, right?
So in selected areas, from June 25th to August 6th, you can see movies for $1 at participating theaters. And
that's it. It's like a jungle in
there. And you can listen to the frog sounds.
Wow.
And all the proceeds go to Variety, which is a children's charity that provides direct grants to kids with disabilities. And the proceeds also go to the Will Rogers Institute.
And you get a movie for $1.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's amctheaters.com.
We ain't got one of those around here.
No, we don't. Yeah, you put in your zip code and it'll tell you... I think the furthest one, the spinning one, is kind of far away for us, but maybe not for you.
But Atlanta, Boston, Baltimore, Chicago, Cincinnati, Jacksonville, L.A., all over Los Angeles, Minneapolis, and in the jungle near you. I don't really understand the jungle.
I don't know either. Are there some jungle movies this summer? I don't know.
Oh,
hey, guess who's here?
Hi.
Hi. Perfect timing.
It didn't even ring. I was like, wait, I hear talking.
That's because we don't stop for anything.
So this is Vanessa Van Petten, who just called in. We introduced you at the beginning of the show, Vanessa, but I will remind everyone listening that she is an author and an entrepreneur who's dedicated to helping parents see teenagers from a teenage perspective.
I was talking last week, Vanessa. We had this wonderful event at the high school that my 16-year-old goes to. She's a sophomore, called Get Real Night. And the idea was for parents to go watch teenagers talk in a kind of dramatic form about teenage issues, things that they think about. What they did was really clever, was they all wrote monologues, but then they would have somebody else read it so that it wasn't those person's words. And then we got together in groups afterwards, not with our own kids, but with other people's kids. And it was a chance for those kids to say what their issues were and for parents to hear it.
What a fabulous idea for an event. My God, it must have been so almost to see that. It must have been so great.
It was. I mean, tears were shed. People felt like it was a chance to really be honest. And that's what the kids said. They said, we just want to get real. We just want to kind of cut through the normal interaction that parents and teens have and kind of be honest with one another.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Really,
well, please. It's the second time they've done it. They'll do it again next year. You're welcome to come out and see it. Where are you located?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Yeah, just come up north. So, but you work. But it sounds like you work with parents and teens in this kind of way as well.
I do. Yeah, it's never in the big setting. It's usually in small groups or one-on-one. You know, with one family, or I'll do like a group of like four or five families. I'll get together and I'll do like a workshop with them. But I couldn't imagine doing it. I think there's something to be said for doing it in front of your peers.
Yeah.
Because even if the parents weren't there at all, just having teenagers hear each other say that they have some issues, it's so wonderful for teens to realize they're not alone with some of the problems they deal with.
Yeah. I think that was a lot of it. You're right. And they didn't pull punches. One kid read a monologue about being bulimic.
Uh-huh.
And she said, she's talking to her parents, you don't even notice that I don't eat breakfast. I don't take my lunch with me. I might eat a bite at supper. And then a few minutes later, you know, I leave early and a few minutes later, I'm in the bathroom. Do you not care anymore? It was really moving. It was very touching. Yeah.
Wow. That would be extremely hard to hear. If I were a parent, I would be like, wow, wake up call.
Yeah, that was kind of my reaction. Although that wasn't my daughter's issue. She's a drug addict. But no, I'm just kidding. Well, that was, I'll tell you one thing we learned, and I'm not naming any school names here, but that marijuana use in particular is much more widespread than the parents knew.
People, I cannot tell you how often I have to say to parents, marijuana is everywhere. It is so, it has permeated the culture, and it's so horrible and almost, I mean, sort of humorous in a weird way that I mentor all these kids and they'll talk to me and I'll say, so, you know, do you smoke cigarettes? And I'll say, oh, I would never smoke cigarettes. Ew, I would never smoke cigarettes. I'm like, oh, do you smoke pot? Well, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, you really don't see that they're connected there. You know, the same reasons you say ew to cigarettes, they're even worse for pot.
Right.
No, there's no comprehension there at all.
Right. How about alcohol? Is there more alcohol consumption in your experience than pot, or is it vice versa?
I think it really depends on where you are, because in small towns, I think it's much more alcohol because it's harder to get your hands on pot.
Right.
You know, it's much harder to find a dealer. It's more expensive because it travels farther. In cities, I think pot use is much higher. At least when I was in college, when I would talk to my friends about it, they would say that, you know, if you were in a small town, you couldn't find it. You know, and usually if there was a kid who was dealing with it, it was only a matter of time before he got caught. But in a city, you can walk, you know, to some of the major areas, and you kind of know who could be dealing
right.
it, you know, so.
We're kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think we have both.
Right. Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of alcohol consumption. And, you know, one of the things the parents said was, look, we know you're going to, we don't expect to protect you from everything. You're going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to get in trouble. This is normal growing, but what we don't want you to do is do something that's irrevocable. Something that you can, you know, never recover from, you know, contract AIDS, get in a car wreck. You know, these are the things we really worry about. And I think it was good for the teens to hear that, you know.
Yeah, and also I think there's such a, at least for me, even now I have younger sisters who are 12 and 16, and, you know, I know that they're going out and doing things, and luckily they tell me more than their parents, but it takes like every ounce of my being when my sister says, oh, you know, I'm going to this party, and I go, and I know exactly what kind of party it is. And, you know, and she goes, you know, I'm not going to do anything dumb, and I know exactly what it is, and I know she's not going to be dumb, but it's like I have to bite my tongue, and I'm only, you know, 4 years older than her. I have to bite my tongue to be like, okay, just let her experience it, because she's going
to
be safe.
You have to have some experiences.
Right. She has to, and I say to her, I will not tell mom and dad, but if you ever think you're going to have to get into a car or something's happening, you call me. You know, and that's the problem that I think a lot of people have is maybe their kids aren't doing it, but they're in a situation where they can only drive home with someone who's been drinking or someone who's been smoking, and wouldn't you rather have them call you than have them get in that car?
Well, that was another thing that came up.
Yeah, what did they say?
Because they said, well, yeah, we know it's okay to call you no matter what, and that it's, but then you're going to get mad at us, and we're going to get in trouble. You know, we don't expect you to say, okay, fine, you know, you're drunk and I'm going to drive you home and we will never mention this again. So, you know, you tell us to call you, but we know they're pay for it. And so what I told my kid is, well, guess what? There's consequences in life to that kind of behavior. And what you're telling me is you want to have no consequence at all. And even if you don't call me, especially if you don't call me, there's worse consequences and there's consequences. And so, look, I'm not going to beat you up, but understand, I do want to drive you home. I don't want you to take a ride from a drunk kid, but I may have something to say about it also.
I actually totally agree with you. And what I say in response to that to some parents, because, you know, every parent knows their kid is a little different. Some parents know their kid probably wouldn't be even in that situation at all. Some would be the friends. Some would be the ones who were drunk. Like, you know, you kind of have an idea of, you know, the spectrum where your kid's on. But I always say it's really important for that specific reason for your kid to have either a mentor or an older sibling
or an
aunt or uncle or a cousin. And I cannot tell you how invaluable those people are in my life.
Yes.
I mean, even still, that, you know, I knew I could call them when I needed to, and they wouldn't tell my parents unless it was something really serious.
Right.
And so I think that's really important.
It's one kid said, oh, well, I know a lot of my parents' friends, but I think most other adults would feel obligated to tell the parents.
Yeah, that gets very tricky.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to put that person in that position.
Yeah. Wait,
how old are you, Vanessa?
Oh, I'm 22.
So you remember this
pretty well.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I just got out of college and I was coming home and there was curfew still. And so I feel like I'm just leaving it. I'm just leaving it so that I can actually look back with not so much sarcasm because I was, you know, I was also, I had the curfews and had the rules. And
yeah.
So before I was a little bit more angry about it. And now I feel like since I just left it, I can kind of go, okay, I'm out of it. Now I can actually talk about it.
Yeah, you wrote your book, You're Grounded, as a high school student.
Yeah, I started writing it as a junior.
Wow.
I started doing research as a junior because wow. That's, you know, I mean, I was by far from a perfect child. I mean, I was a little abnormal, obviously. I was writing a book, but I, you know,
well, see, that's funny because at the beginning of the show, I said, she's exactly the kind of kid doesn't have a problem.
Oh, no, no, no.
She's an overachiever.
Oh, no, you know, I had a little bit of that. I'm very, very hyper organized, but I definitely did get grounded. My weakness was boys. That was my weakness. That was my kryptonite. Got me in the most trouble in high school and even through college. But, you know, it wasn't like anything extreme. So I think I fell right in the middle there. But there was a time period, especially from 14 to 16. 14 is the real flip point. I feel like, you know, you can either go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Where I was really mad at my parents. I mean, yeah. I was so angry at my dad for not letting me date when I wanted to, drive when I wanted to, having an earlier curfew than everyone else. I mean, literally, it felt like he was the strictest person on the block. He probably wasn't, but that's how it felt.
Oh, I hear that from my kids all the time. My son said, my 13-year-old says, every other parent lets, you know, their kids hang around at downtown until 9 or 10 at night. And I know they don't. Come on. But yeah, of course he feels that way. I mean, sure he does believe that.
I genuinely believed that my dad was the meanest father in my school.
Yeah. Yep. He believes that.
And so I went through that time period, and it was in that period, right at the end of it, when I was 16, and I looked around, and my friends and I were all so angry. And I said, there has to be something wrong here. It actually happened when two of my friends crossed over the line of just experimenting and were really reckless, and I got caught for marijuana, and I got expelled from school. And I talked to him afterwards. I mean, they were really reckless about it. And I was like, what were you thinking? Even at 16, I was like, what were you thinking? He was like, oh, I wanted to piss off my parents. I was like, you just ruined your own life to piss off your parents. You do realize
the
craziness of that statement. And that was that moment that I realized that, first of all, I wasn't as angry at that moment at my parents. I went, wow, that's really bad. And that's when I started researching the book, because I knew that something had to shift.
It's interesting because that's, my daughter is 16 now. In fact, we just talked about this. She's kind of coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is all normal developmental stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a therapist, but that's how, looking at my friends, looking at my siblings, looking at, you know, the people who now I'm mentoring, it's 14 is that really rough period where it goes from my little girl, my little boy to please get me out of the house. I wish I never had kids. Like, I feel like that's like a lot of parents talk to me. And then at 16, slowly it starts to switch. I don't know if it's developmental. I don't know if it's the school timing that we think we're leaving soon. I'm not sure what it is, but.
Well, that's what happened to my daughter. She's going away to France September for a year.
Wow.
As a junior.
Cool.
Yeah, cool for her. Scary for us. But and you know what? You know where the breaking point was? This is kind of interesting. She started a Twitter account.
I have Twitter. Tell her to follow me on Twitter.
I will. In fact, I will tell everybody to follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, Evan Petten. Follow me.
I just added you on Twitter.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She'd had a Facebook account, but wouldn't let me be a friend on Facebook. But she let me know that she had a Twitter account, and she's following me, and I'm following her. And I think it was like this. This is interesting. This is digital age stuff.
Yeah.
This was this back channel way for her to kind of communicate with
social
me.
Social media parenting.
Can I just tell you how proud I am that you just said that? Like, I cannot tell you how happy I am that you said that, because literally I preach about how social networks, yes, they're scary and there's some bad things about them, but you can use them such to your advantage. And I know that, you know, there's a time where kids are like, get off my Facebook. Don't touch my Facebook, you know, but...
Oh, I don't, and that's my son too, and that's fine. That's how he communicates with his friends.
Right, but if there is outlets there for you and your daughter. There definitely is. So I think it's so cool that
Twitter.
You're doing that with her. It's
Twitter,
so cool.
Of all things, Twitter. And of course, being the proud parent, I immediately told everybody about her
And she's now got 500 followers. So I don't know how personal this conversation is going to be, but we're going to get you some too. VVANPETTEN.
Yes. Yes. And you can go to my blog on teenstoday.com. I'm all over it on there. So
yeah, I noticed that. That's when I said, well, I'm following.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very exciting, but I try to be.
Well, you don't have to be exciting. I've noticed that. Not necessary to be exciting on Twitter.
So when did you start your site?
Gosh. When I was a senior in college, I went to Emory University in Atlanta. I decided that I really loved talking to teens and parents. That was what I wanted to do. Especially because it was so interesting. I did all these interviews in high school with these kids, you know, why do you do pot? Why do you drink? Why are you being promiscuous? How much do you hate your parents? What could they do to make it better? You know, all those kinds of questions. And what was so cool is that when I was like a junior, I was able to go back and interview the same kids, and they were able to look back and say, well, I wish I had done this differently, or I was so angry at this point because, and that was really interesting. And I said, this is what I want to do. So I took my babysitting money. I was working in the admissions office at college, took that money, and I hired some employees in India to build my site for me. Yeah, to build my site for me. It was funny, my parents were sending me allowance and I was sending it off to India, which they didn't even know until later.
This is mind blowing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's true. And I didn't tell them actually, which caused a fight later, but we can get to that if you want in a bit. But yeah, so I hired 6 employees in India and I had them set up shop in Bangladesh, and they were sending me a bunch of drafts for my site. We were working on building some new software to have like a forums for parents and teens to connect. And so actually I launched the site in September of this year. It took about 6 months through graduation and all that. And now it's growing. I can't even believe how much it's grown in the past few months. So
it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
It's really neat.
So tell us what our roles is.
That is the site that we've been working on. So the blog was pretty easy. The blog was pretty easy to put up.
It's just a WordPress blog.
Yeah, it's just a WordPress blog. So what I've been working on with them is this is sort of confusing, but basically I wanted to make a wiki, kind of like Wikipedia. So it would be like an editable parenting guide, because I felt like, you know, the advice that teenagers gave me for my parenting book was priceless. I mean, it was better than anything I could have ever come up with. And I was like, why can't everyone write their own parenting book and then vote on the advice they give each other? So that's what we're creating now, is this wiki software where parents can write advice and teens can write advice and they can vote on the advice they like the best.
I love that idea. That's kind of like this Getting Real night. Online.
Why I think it's so cool.
So is it up now?
It's up. There's some tweaks to it, but it is up. It's at rrules.com. You can kind of click around, but I will say there's some tweaking to it that needs to be done.
Well, you got 2 weeks. This airs in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Well, so a week and a half.
I'll make sure that it's up.
Okay.
By that.
That's a really great idea. Now, I think teens are going to get this right away.
Yes.
You think parents are?
You know, I have a video demo guide. I have really good instructions. I've made my mom, who barely knows how to turn on our house computer, I watch her on the site. Like, I let her sit on the site, and then I watch what she does. And so every time she comes to a roadblock, I try to, you know, fix it with the software. So I hope
so. Oh, that's good. Use your mom as a tester.
Your own little user testing.
Yeah. Right. She's my user testing.
Now, it could go the other way. It could go the other way. The teens could go, oh, this is a site for parents to spy on their teens. So uncool. I'll never use
it. I know. It's so uncool. I'm hoping not. I'm hoping they'll be like, you know what? I'm not happy with my parents right now, so I might as well help some parents out there. And I've actually found there's a lot of teens who are willing to open up for us. So
I think that, you know, that's what I learned at this Getting Real night, is that and this is a hard thing for a parent of a teen to realize, because teens are so obstinate and negative, and they put their hands, they talk to the hand. But at the same time, what it was really clear was they really do want to talk to their parents. They really do have issues. They wish they could communicate.
Yes. Yes, they do. That's what I found with this book when I was interviewing people. And I cannot tell you how many teenagers email me from my blog and say, you know, can you mention this in a post? And I'm like, mention it in a comment. They're like, no.
Yeah.
I'm like, why not? You know, just put it up there. So it's so funny that happens that way, but it's true. They genuinely do. And I think that's why when you pick up your kid's friends, and maybe the kid who's the friend will open up to you.
Yep.
It's like they're desperate to, but they won't do it for their own parents.
I love driving carpool when my daughter's not in the carpool.
Yes, exactly.
And they talk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's interesting. I think you're in the perfect position to do this because, I mean, even just to people a few years older than you aren't as comfortable, didn't really necessarily grow up with... I don't want to say no one's grown up with YouTube because it's only, you know, 3 years old, but, yeah. But just all of these social networking tools, it just seems like you're very comfortable with them.
When you were a freshman, I guess there really wasn't MySpace yet.
Yeah. Oh yes, there was.
Oh, there was. Okay.
Oh, I was on MySpace in high school. Absolutely.
Okay.
And Megan, you're right. It's definitely a comfort level, but it's also if I was too immersed in it like them, I couldn't understand how hard it was to adopt.
Right.
So I came right at that threshold. I mean, my freshman year was when Facebook finally started opening up beyond the Ivy Leagues, and I had already been on MySpace, so I got to watch the transition. And that was a very cool time. So.
You're an old timer now.
I'm an old timer. What can I say? I know Facebook like it's anything.
So, what's the one thing you wish every parent of a teenager knew?
We do come back. I know that we can be awful. I was awful sometimes. I really feel like I aged my parents. but we do actually come back. There is a point, and it might not be until they're in their 20s, but there is a point where all of a sudden we start to shift. And so just don't do anything that you think will harm your relationship beyond repair. And it's the same thing that we said at the beginning of the interview. You know, don't do anything silly that is, you know, irrevocable, you can't take back. It's the same thing for parents. I feel like, you know, if you push them too far or you, you know, break their, you know, read their journal, something that would really harm the relationship, it's hard for us to come back. It will take longer, but we will come back.
Mm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the monologues, a girl was talking to her mother who had left the family when she was 12 and then came back when she's 16. And that's exactly what she said.
Really?
Obviously, that was a very damaging thing. Mm-hmm. And she said, give me time because I need to learn to trust you again. You know, you abandoned me, but I'm not going to abandon you.
Mm. Wow.
I thought it was very interesting. So that's good to know. That's reassuring because I think especially when you're really in it, it's sometimes you think, this relationship is over.
I know. Yeah. I know. And that's what I'm thinking because I know those dark moments. I was in them with my parents. I watch my sisters go through them and I coach people through them when I have private clients. And I say to them, it's going to get better. It'll take time, but they do come back.
Do we have to go through that stage?
You know what? I'm going to say no because I hope that that's not true. And I think there are some families that they have kids who are pretty level-headed and don't age them too much. But I think the majority of people do have those kind of moments.
I liked it that Abby was really bloody-minded and independent. I thought that, especially for a girl, that was an attribute that would hold her in good stead. Might be hard for me, for my wife and me, but in the long run, that was going to hold her in good stead. You know, that kind of, I know who I am, that's not so bad. I mean,
I think it's really important for a girl.
Yeah. So easy to get steamrollered, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa. This was
thank you
really
so much for having me.
Yeah. Let me just see how many followers you have now. You're up to 25. We're going to get you more. V Van Petten, VVANPETTEN at Twitter. But the easiest way is to go to Vanessa's website.
Mm-hmm. OnTeensToday.com.
OnTeensToday.com.
Yep.
You should put that in your... about me on Twitter so that people know that.
Oh, that's a good one. I definitely do that.
Yeah, they can click your link. Because you don't know who somebody is until you can go to their website.
I know. Everyone has to have a website.
Got to have a website. Come on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It was a really great interview.
Great to talk to you. And you're very encouraging.
Email me with any questions.
It's going to be okay.
Listeners, anyone.
Really? Okay. What's the email?
vvanpetten@gmail.com.
Excellent.
Simple enough.
All right.
Thank you, Vanessa. Your parents and you get along really well now?
Finally.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm sure they're intensely proud of you.
They are a little nervous of what I'm going to say whenever I do these interviews, but they're excited for me.
They are. Thank you, Vanessa.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, she's poised for a 22-year-old.
I know.
Wow.
That's amazing. I try to think of what I was doing at 22, working in a bookstore.
I think I was smoking a lot of pot. The thing that's interesting is that she... based this instead of just as many teenagers would. Well, this is my experience. She actually went out and asked teenagers and interviewed them and really got a sense of what was going on for them, not just her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Really neat.
Yeah, so I wanted to remind people that you can call us. Our number is 707-981-4602. So if you have any thoughts on our interview or anything else that we've talked about on the show or any ideas, give us a call.
We've talked so much about little kids so far, and mm-hmm. it's nice to talk about teens
it
once
is,
in a while.
Yeah.
So we'd like to hear from some parents of teens.
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
your experience mm-hmm. been? What do you do?
Right, because I do feel like
you got to get ready.
Yeah.
You got no time.
I know.
Seems like when your kids are little, this is going to last a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I remember the first one, I was like, I couldn't wait till they turned over. Couldn't wait till they sat up. Couldn't wait till they walked. Then your second kid is like, slow down.
Yeah.
You start to realize they're going to be teenagers
exactly.
very soon.
Exactly, yeah. I know. All right, so I think it's time to talk about Audible, our sponsor.
Make way for ducklings. This is actually a new Audible site. It is kids for kids, the Audible Kids site, audiblekids.com. And if you're already an Audible member, just go there and you can log in with your Audible account. And this is a great way to find books for kids.
Yeah, I love Audible Kids. It's just so bright and shiny and so easy to find books that are appropriate. You can search by age or topic or, you know, it's great. And so many of them are like those 99-cent books, little picture books, which are definitely worth
That's nice,
downloading
isn't it?
And listening to.
Yeah.
But this one is my pick for the week is Robert McCloskey for Young Children. And Robert McCloskey is the author of Make Way for Ducklings and
Love
One
that.
Morning in Maine.
And my favorite, Blueberries for Sal.
Blueberries for Sal is not part of this, strangely. The third book is Time of Wonder, which we've gotten from a library and we like okay. But
I
the other two are definitely...
For Sal.
Oh, I know.
Wasn't that a great
it
book?
Is really... Yeah.
Do they have Make Ways for Ducklings?
This is Make Way for Ducklings... on it.
Oh,
they have
it's one volume
one,
with all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, it has
oh,
all
neat.
Of them. They probably have Blueberries for Sal separately, too.
Look at all the Robert McCloskey.
Yeah.
Homer Price.
Oh, Homer Price is great,
I loved,
too.
That's for older kids a little bit.
Homer Price?
Isn't it?
No, it's not.
That's
much
the
different
one with
than,
the donut machine, right?
No. This is the one with the guy who can't whistle. and
yeah, there's donuts.
Really? Maybe Homer Price isn't what I'm thinking of.
No, there's donuts. There's a donut machine.
Oh.
It's
okay, then that is for older colleagues. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
There's another book about a guy who can't whistle.
Homer Price, welcome to Centerburg, where you can win $100 by eating all the donuts you want, and where a boy named Homer Price can foil four bandits using nothing but his wits and pet skunk.
Hmm. I got to look that up, the book that I'm thinking of.
That's a great book, and I think Annabella is the right age
really?
For
Homer Really?
Okay, Price.
I'll
yeah.
check that out.
So they have, they don't have, for some reason, Blueberries for Sal.
It must be like a rights issue
it
or something.
It always is.
Yeah.
It's the publisher. But
yeah.
they have a lot. In fact, the Caldecott Award-winning Time of Wonder.
Yeah, that one is
Make
on...
Way for Ducklings, Caldecott
right.
Award. She won Caldecott's for three books.
Yeah, it's crazy. My kids just love this book, these books, and the illustrations are great. And they're not, you know, they're not, it's not like it has that much color in or anything, but they're great books and...
Not much color?
The actual color, the Make Way for Ducklings is like one color.
Oh, the books, but
yeah.
we're talking about an audiobook, which has no color at all.
Right.
I just
true.
Would like to point out, folks, that's not really...
I was saying my kids love the books, and any books they love, they automatically love the audiobook.
Oh, but you're right. It is a black and white. The mm-hmm. illustrations
yeah,
are
Yeah, it's
Douglas.
Two color, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, there's no color.
There's no color at all.
So, my point was, it is not all about the illustrations. They're
I
good
see
to
what
listen
you're saying.
To.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I could probably recite them to you right now. I've read them so many times.
Well,
but
you don't have
so
to,
you can get
Audible
them individually.
Them for you.
Yeah. Or this, my pick for the week is Robert McCloskey's for Young all Children, right. which has three books.
Let's listen. Just this. I have to do this just a little bit. I just remember these so well. Can't hear a thing. It sounds so good, though. What is going
one
on?
One morning in Maine, Sal woke up.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. So Sal is in all three of those books?
Sal is... I don't know if she's in Time of Wonder. But she's in Blueberries for Sal and One Morning in Maine. But she's not in Make Way for Ducklings.
No.
Just ducks.
That's a so, true story. That's
is it
about,
really?
Yeah. Those ducks... were at that hotel, the Peabody Hotel in, or Peabody.
In Boston.
As they say in Boston. I think they still, and it's not the same duck, but I think they still have those.
Mm.
And they go across the lobby.
In the public garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
Yeah. It's a great
book. But now I don't know if they trained those ducks after the book.
Oh, maybe.
Could be he made up the story and that. But I think it's a story about the real Peabody.
I'm sure if it's not, we'll hear about it. So call us at 707-981-4602 if you know the true story of Make Way for Ducklings. And visit audible.com/monkeys to get a free book.
Yep. Or at the Audible Kids site, audiblekids.com. But get that free book. Sign up. And I tell you, it's as a parent, even with older kids, we would listen when we drive on long drives. I really like that.
Yeah.
Instead of having them watch a DVD, because that's a solitary thing. But when you're all listening to the book together, it's such a great family experience when you're driving.
Yeah, it is.
And then afterwards you talk about it. Mm-hmm. I just loved that.
It's funny. The boys were just like running around the living room the other day saying, "This is Audible. This is Audible. This is Audible." And my in-laws were there and they're like, "What are they saying?" And I said, "They're saying this
story.
Is Audible."
It's a long story.
But the Audible Kids books have a new beginning and it's Audible Kids.
Oh, good. Frankly, I want to call Audible and say, can I do the this is Audible?
Because it's Audible.
This, because the guy is a little, yes, is Audible. I could do a better job. I mean, let me audition. This is Audible.
That was great.
That's a little, this is Audible.
I like the first one
better.
I could
do different voices. This is Audible. Ah.
All right, let's move on to the video of the week. I really wanted to mention this, even though you kind of have to watch it. So go to our site and go to twit.tv.
So if I play a little bit of it,
it's
not going to
It's going to be funny, but you got to imagine, this is Merlin Mann's site, and you got to imagine his little baby.
Little Eleanor.
Just little Eleanor's big face in the camera as you listen to this video.
I don't know if we'll hear any audio. We didn't hear any audio
before. Oh, we didn't?
No, I don't know what. Oh, there it is.
I just want to do a quick check-in with you and see how things are going.
This is called HR check-in.
So you're seeing the full... Eleanor is just sitting there with her, you know, drooling and bubbling, and she's so cute. She's like, what, 6 months old?
I think so.
We like to periodically interview the new people here and just get their thoughts on, you know, how things are going. Are there improvements that we could make? Are there things we could make go smoothly in the future? So first of all, just how are things in general?
She's sucking her thumb.
Are you getting the resources that you need to do the kinds of projects that you want to do? Is that... Okay, I'm getting the sense that you want to put something in your mouth.
Okay. She's trying to eat the camera.
All right. Well, we can keep doing the interview. What about your colleagues? Have you been satisfied with your supervisor? Okay. Because you seem to spend a lot of time with her breasts. And I don't want to go someplace where we're going to get ourselves in a lot of trouble over a misunderstanding. Do you feel like you have a wholesome relationship with the other people here? Okay.
Oh, boy. She's eating the camera again. Okay. I love Merlin so much.
That is so funny.
He's one of the funniest guys I've
ever
met.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a time for him and Madeline to come on the show.
Oh, that would be really great.
But it's long overdue. But now I like to wait for people to have had a baby for a while and to do things like this, experiment with the really creative baby video, which I just think this is hilarious. So
he's great.
You can see it on his site or
can you imagine what this kid's going to grow up like with Merlin Mann and Madeline Mann as her parents?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I wonder if she has her own folders already.
Oh, I guarantee you she's got 43 of them.
43 of her own folders.
Her very own.
So, yeah.
That's on Vimeo, but you can also get a link at our website.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now I have some more links.
This is weird.
This is totally weird. This I found on Daddy Types.
I wouldn't have done this. I don't know what kind of parent would do this.
Okay. So have you seen this picture already?
No.
This was a picture that was like an AP photo. So it was everywhere for a short time.
And I was in Australia.
It's a picture of a guy crowd surfing his child to Obama.
He's 8 month old. He's sending her over to Obama.
So it's like, it's at an Obama rally and like, there's just a bunch of hands. I'll put the link to the picture.
It's actually a prize-winning picture, and Obama's in the lower right, reaching
like
out
trying
his hand
to grab her and hopefully not let anyone drop her. And it's funny to watch the video too, because like he gets her and she just starts to scream and cry, which anyone baby would like in the arms of a stranger.
What the heck just happened there?
So Greg of Daddy Types, which I just love his site, it's daddytypes.com. He found the guy, the father who did this.
So here's what he says. Yeah, he says I was about four people back. I was holding Natalie up and Barack noticed he was behind the rope line and made a little motion toward me. The crowd parted just enough for me to make the handoff.
So he's actually handing his baby to Barack.
Yeah, you can see in the picture that his hands are actually
still on
the
baby.
When you first look, it just looks like she's just being hoisted him up, but, but he still has his hands on her.
So he says, she was in my hands the whole time. I could reach all the way and see her the whole time. So it's not like, you know, he was passing her over to Obama.
But it just gives new meaning to, like, the, you know, baby kissing. I thought that was pretty funny.
You know, I have to say, when I watch Obama and Clinton kiss babies, I feel like they mean it.
Yeah.
It's really kind of cute. They both have kids.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, Barack's kids are pretty young.
Right.
You know, Jennifer said an interesting thing. She's a Clinton supporter.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I couldn't vote for Obama because it would be like taking a father away from his kids.
Oh, I've definitely thought about that. And I read The Audacity of Hope, and it's a really interesting book. And he does talk about how it's hard. It's hard. If he's, I've discussed that with Marco, like, I wouldn't want him to be president. Like, I wouldn't want him to be that far. But he's already in the Congress. He's already
away. Let's face it, he lives in Washington.
He's already not. Yeah. I mean, I think that it sounds to me like they have a pretty good family life despite that.
Well, Michelle's great.
But
his wife.
But yeah. But I think, I mean,
I thought that was a really interesting thing for her to say. And I hadn't thought about that because I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I just thought, well, I've always thought it's a courageous thing for him as a father to become president. Mm-hmm. That's a scary, dangerous job. But I didn't think really, a vote for him is a vote separating a family.
Mm, yeah.
And I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, sort of.
It's an interesting way to look at it.
I'm not sure what he would say about that. My suspicion is he'd probably say, well, but I want to create a world that I want my girls to grow up in. Mm-hmm. And I think that the best way to do that is to run the world.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting. John McCain's son is in Iraq. He hardly ever talks about that. I think that is,
he should.
There must be some reason. It's just, I think it's a minefield, but I think it's interesting that he doesn't talk, 'cause that's the big issue. Like, if you know, would you start a war, would
Congress,
you send your kid there? You
most
know?
Members of Congress. Remember, this was something that, was in one of Roger Moore's movies. I can't remember which one, but he asked members of Congress, mm-hmm. you know, do you have a kid? And none of them had kids at risk at war. And I think in a way, this is an honor thing for McCain. He doesn't want to use his son.
Right. And which I think is very honorable.
It is very honorable.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that we mention it because people should know that.
Right.
And I think that I respect that immensely.
Yeah.
And the fact that he doesn't talk about it, I respect even
more.
Yeah,
that's true. Gonna be a tough race.
It isn't gonna be easy. I'm watching the baby being passed now. Oh my goodness. That seems like such a bad idea. But you know what? If you had a chance to have your baby kissed by a possible future president of the United States, would you do it?
I don't know. Good question. The comments are funny too. Like, there's a mom that's like, I would never do that. Okay. So last week we talked a little bit about, or 2 weeks ago, I think, we talked about the post on Geek Dad about using YouTube in the elementary school classroom. Someone sent me an email about a site called TeacherTube. Have you heard of TeacherTube?
No.
It's TeacherTube.com.
Good name.
And it was launched in March of last year.
I'm thinking it's a YouTube for teachers.
It is, yeah, for educational videos. I thought it was interesting. It seems to have more ads than YouTube does, which is kind of ironic for something that you'd use in the classroom.
Yeah.
And it had, like, if you look at a video, like, you can turn off the ad, but it's just like, it's an extra click you probably wouldn't do. Why waste your time? And then it's like, you're looking at the ad to turn it off, that kind of thing. So I don't know. I thought I would ask if people...
Let's play something.
Yeah.
This is Mr. Dewey. He's going to do a little educational rap.
I teach you how to get rid of an improper fraction. Teach you how to get a percentage from a fraction. I teach you everything you need to know about fractions. Fractions, what's that? Lights, camera, action.
It's probably an elementary school teacher. Like,
Mr. Dewey is cool. He kind of has a bad haircut. But
yeah.
See, my son looks at these and he just goes, it's so pathetic.
Right, exactly. But maybe it's like something that you could make. But why not just put it on YouTube, I guess, is the question.
Well, if this is... I'll tell you one reason why not. The related videos link on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
After you watch the movie, they put up related videos.
Right, and then...
And you don't know what you're going to get.
That's true.
It's a little scary.
That is a good reason.
Yeah.
teachertube.com.
TeacherTube.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
TeacherTube.
So do we have some time for some listener feedback?
We have a good amount of time, as a matter of fact, because I shut up and only talked a little bit today. So let me play one.
Okay.
As is has become our want, unscreened, unfiltered, unedited, listener calls to our Grand Central number.
Hey, Megan and Leo, it's Jamie in St. Louis. Believe it or not, I'm calling in favor of homework. My wife's a first grade teacher, and every week they give a homework packet out to the kids in their class. It's about a 30-minute thing. They're supposed to do it between Monday and Friday, and believe it or not, about 40% of the kids don't turn it in. The reason I think that's a big deal is the whole idea of the homework packet is to get the parents involved.
And I know. That's what I don't like about it.
Really seem to care much.
No, I don't. I don't want to do homework with my first grader.
Like you or your guests or the people in your audience, they don't read to their kids. They're not talking.
Oh, no. I read to my kids. I just don't want to do homework with my kids.
But his point is that this points out that these are the parents that aren't.
Right. These are the uninvolved parents.
Kids. That's the type of thing that's out there. You know, you've said you feel teachers are pawning their job off on the parents. But really, it's the parents are pawning their jobs off on their teachers. Kids are.
Wait a minute. Okay. I have a few thoughts here. First of all, there's a difference between what a parent's job is and a teacher's job is. And I don't think that the parents... First of all, first graders shouldn't have homework, period. That's just crazy. And I can tell you exactly why that teacher has given homework. It has nothing to do with parent involvement or it's no child left behind. It's the requirements of the tests. And schools need to hit these marks to get funding. And so as a result, because these kids, even first graders, have to take tests, they do these homework things, they're drilling for the test. I really think that's where it comes from. I don't think you saw this until you saw widespread teacher performance testing and penalties for poor scores. Now, I'm not saying it, by the way. I'm sure your wife is a great teacher, but it's probably the policy of the school. And how does this get a parent involved anyway? If the parent's not involved, then the parent's not involved. Sending homework home doesn't get the parents involved.
I think maybe it does. Like if they didn't... Maybe some people wouldn't read to their kids unless they had, unless they were told like, well, we have to do this.
To do
I can see that. But I do think if the parent's not going to be involved anyway, then that puts the kid at an even greater disadvantage.
Now there's 40% of the kids whose parents. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. Let's give him a chance to respond in his pre-recorded call.
Learn more from their parents than any teacher could ever hope to teach them.
That's true.
So anyway, if you want to look at it from the teaching to the test standpoint,
that's what I said.
Then I mean that's something you'll have to change politically because until that No Child Left Behind stuff is gone, you're going to keep having that. So. I wanted to throw in a vote for all the teachers. I mean, most teachers, are really good teachers. You know, my wife spends a lot of extra time at home, time she doesn't get to spend with our new 5-month-old, so that she can take care of 22 kids that aren't hers, but she loves very much. So anyway, that's my thoughts on homework, that it's not necessarily as evil as you might think. Love the show. I've been a daddy blogger now since my wife was pregnant at skippyjr.blogspot.com. So anyway, that's all I got to say. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Good point. And by the way, please don't ever think that I am in any way dissing teachers because I
happen to know a teacher who knows karate, so don't diss teachers.
I think teachers. I love your husband, and I didn't know he knew karate, but I still like him. In fact, my point is that I think many teachers don't want it. The ones I talk to don't want it, especially the younger kids, don't want to do this and are required to do it because of No Child Left Behind, and that this isn't something that they think is a good idea either. I think there are some good reasons that you might want to do this, but I don't. Should a first grader really be required to do homework?
I don't know. But I mean, that's a good point that that teachers do spend a lot of their time, in the evening.
You know, that bumper sticker, if you can read this, thank a teacher. Mm-hmm. Teachers are the most, among the most important people in the world. It is a high calling. It is a sacrifice, of course. And I love teachers. You don't have to. Don't have to convince me of that. In fact, it really, what I'm saying is that I think many teachers don't like this either.
Right.
But maybe they do.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm just reacting to the fact that I had to do a lot of homework as a kid and I didn't like it.
We always bring up so many issues. I have an email from Joe. He says, we have a 5-year-old. We bought her a Play and Learn bilingual power laptop. It's not a real computing PC, but it lets her learn.
But it sounds like it.
to use something and gives her Spanish lesson. Only problem is when she turns it on at 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. Hola.
I think that's interesting. I mean, there's different people say that, you know, you can't, it's hard to learn another language from something like that, like learning.
Well, it's probably
from,
better than that than from a book, or I mean, at least that's kind of like the language lab, right?
Well, I think it'd be better to learn from a person, from your parent. Yeah. But you know, it's a lot of people who say, "Well, my kid's learning Spanish from watching Dora." You know, that's not what they need. Is the feedback?
Right.
Like they need someone to say, "Oh, you're saying it right."
Yeah.
So, but I think this is better than nothing. I mean, my daughter has this little Spanish CD that she loves to listen to.
Do you think she's learning Spanish?
I don't know. I mean, she was also taking a Spanish class, so it's hard to tell which was, but...
They're at the age, when they're that young, they're really at the age where languages are much easier. So whatever you can do, I think, to get that language in their head.
But I think as a reinforcement, this kind of stuff is really good.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. There's sites now, they're for grown-ups, where you can speak to a Spanish or a French or whatever native speaker. You know, kind of like via Skype or whatever, and actually to get conversational learning.
That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Yeah.
I think Perlingua, I think, is the site.
Mm.
Let me look it up.
Interesting. Well, while you're looking that up, I will read another email.
Yes, please.
From Heidi. She says, I love your podcast. It's one of my favorites, and I save it for last. I would have been that child in the room that saved the marshmallow to get an extra one instead of eating it right away.
Wow.
That was the show we talked about a long time ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I listened to episode 34 and was surprised when you guys were in support of the CD party favor idea, giving out a CD with a birthday child's favorite music on it to guests who come to the party. Did I misunderstand something, or were you guys in support of pirating music?
You bet.
That does not seem like something you guys would support.
I'm in support of that. I'm in favor of that.
You're in favor of pirating music?
Yeah. First of all, it's funny because this was specifically protected by law when it was cassettes.
Uh-huh.
The Home Recording Act allowed you to make mixtapes. Now, I don't know if you could make 25 of them.
Right.
That might be an issue, but you're allowed to make mixtapes. That was considered fair use.
Mm-hmm.
The law lapsed and didn't affect digital copying, and so the record companies, of course, are all upset about that. I'm of the opinion that this is a way of spreading music, and if you hear a song that you like, don't you think you're more likely to buy that album?
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to do that for Annabella's birthday, and I decided not just from this email. She convinced me. It was just, you know, it was like, I was like, okay, well, I guess that is kind of pirating in so many, but I don't know.
I think that I'm sure technically it's illegal.
Yeah.
Because this Home Recording Act doesn't cover digital media, but
right.
It oughta. And the intent of Congress was that the law was written before digital media existed.
Mm-hmm.
The intent of Congress was that this should be fair use.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not like you're making and selling them.
Right. I guess
it's not a whole, if you took a CD and copied it.
Uh-huh.
And said, here.
Yeah.
That would be beyond the pale, I think. But you're making a mix of
your own creation.
It's your own creation. Well, it's still these artists' creation, but it's one song. So it's a way, it's like playing it on the radio.
Yeah.
It's not giving the person the whole CD.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting question.
But well, I am in favor of piracy. I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
Red Lengua, R-E-D-L-E-N. And by the way, yeah, steal this podcast, please. You know, if you want to give this out as a party favor, I encourage you to do so.
This would make a great party favor.
I think so. R-E-D-L-E-N-G-U-A, Red Lengua, is one-on-one Spanish tutoring. So it's native speakers. It's kind of neat. You need a broadband connection and Skype, and then you'll talk to native speakers. Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah, that is. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Do we have another voicemail to play?
Oh, we have many.
Okay, good.
That's somebody else going to yell at me now. He's from Downey, California.
Hey, Kevin. Sorry. What up, Megan? You got to give me a...
Okay, so we get one drunk guy. That's, you know, that's...
It's the same person from Downey, unless everyone from Downey kind of calls, and I don't think he's drunk, but just...
Confused.
Maybe not prepared.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, because we've gotten several calls from this guy. And he, like the last one, he said, don't forget the last call.
Yeah.
This is, okay, let's move on. Burlington, Vermont. Burlington, you're on the air.
Hi, Megan. Hi, Leo. It's Dave, the principal in Vermont. I wanted to comment on the teacher putting videos on YouTube. And that's actually not too radical a concept. Think about school newsletters where children's pictures will be there and their first names, I think, first names only. But that's, you know, a way to publicize things, and video and podcast for schools is just a Web 2.0 way of doing that.
To the entire world.
You should check out is Mabry, Mabry.org, or actually MabryOnline.org. It's a school in Georgia that is really making use of Web 2.0. Hey, one thing to keep in mind for schools, too, there's a concept called directory information. Your school is actually allowed to give out the names of all the children that go there, and their parents' names, and sometimes even their addresses, unless parents opt out of that.
That's that thing we talked about last week that you sign.
Mm-hmm.
They do a directory.
Mm.
But it's, you don't publish it on the internet.
Right.
So look into what your school has already given permission for. Hey, thanks a lot. Great podcast. Bye-bye.
I think that's the issue of the internet age, that some of these things that were okay in the analog age, printing a parent directory or a newsletter,
mm-hmm.
it has kind of a different import when you're putting it out on the internet.
Right. Yeah. And it's hard to think about that. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, well-versed in this stuff, and I have to think twice. Like, you know, when I'm uploading pictures from Annabella's birthday party, like, I'm like, oh, I can't upload.
Hey, Kevin.
Again, he's back.
He's back.
I was going to say, you know, I don't want to upload them to Flickr because I haven't asked all right. the permission of all the parents, and I don't have the energy.
I mean, are we going to get to the point where you have a birthday party and you have people sign releases as they come in the door?
Yeah.
That's not a bad
idea. All right. I have one more email from Lori.
Okay.
And she says,
I'm sorry, by the way. I hope I don't. I'm being a little feisty.
You are very contrary today.
I apologize.
Well, I accept your apology. Okay. I hope other people do.
I'm just a jerk. Accept that. I'm a teenager in an old man's body.
So this is from Lori. She says, I'm a mother of two girls, 9 and 11. I have a blog about manga. I write reviews and commentary about these graphic novels, mostly from Japan. I've been reading these books for several years now, and when I started my blog, part of my mission was to be a resource for parents who know nothing about these books. There are a lot of misconceptions about them, and anime for that matter, that I would like to straighten out. Manga is one of the fastest growing genres in publishing today, with an estimated 2,000 books to come out in 2008 alone, and most of them will be targets to the teen or older audience.
Yep.
And I will put her link up on the show notes at Jumpy Monkeys.
Oh, good.
Because I would give it to you now, but I don't have it.
And it's probably really long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I've got. And
I like manga.
I do too.
You know, when I was in Tasmania, mm-hmm. this was kind of strange. Little town in the middle of nowhere called Ross has this great old bakery. It's an old town. It's like an old English town in the middle of the wilderness. And Miyazaki, who's the famous Japanese manga animator, did a movie called Kiki's Delivery Service. Have you shown that to the kids yet?
No.
It's a great movie.
We've talked
Abby
about it, but I
it.
Should, yeah.
Abby loved it. And it was based on this bakery in Ross.
Oh.
And they have the room where she was. And I took pictures of the room in the bakery for Abby because I told her I'm going to go to where Kiki's Delivery Service, Miyazaki was inspired by. She flipped. So here we are in the middle of nowhere in Tasmania. And this is his inspiration. So that was kind of fun.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know why I said that. Oh, yeah. I guess
because we were talking about manga.
Use the magic word manga.
But I have to relieve the babysitter.
Oh, it's that time again.
I know.
Well, that's okay because I have to relieve myself. So it really kind of works out perfectly. We thank you for joining us. If you would like to email Megan.
Megan at twit.tv.
I'll let you say that now so mm-hmm. I don't say the wrong address.
And if you want to call us.
We love that. The number is
707-707-981-981.
You don't remember either? I have it right here. I can look it up.
I got my papers
Wait
here.
A minute. I'm going to find it faster than you do.
981-4602.
And you can email us. Who won?
We already told them where you can email us.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And
email us. Who won?
Yeah. Okay. Jumpingmonkeys.com is Megan's blog. That's where the show notes live.
Twit.tv/JM.
That's another place you can listen to the shows. Mm-hmm. All of them. Every one of them.
Please tell
43.
Your friends.
Thank you so much. Megan, have a great week.
You too, Leah.
See you next time on
Jumping Monkey.
Yeah!